Welcome to the Evening Boost Hour.
So to 123, which means we've been doing this for 123 straight weeks.
Straight up, we have.
It's insanity.
Like, I always say, one of the longest relationships I've ever had outside of, like, my marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are just feeling ourselves tonight, okay?
Oh, and I am feeling myself because it is like we're recording the day after the Oscars. The Oscars were the last night. And, you know, for us, that's like our fashion Super Bowl. We love it. We're going to get into it in a little bit. I just think today should be a holiday or maybe yesterday. I just love it.
I know. Yeah. Everybody should get the day after the Oscars off.
Exactly. It's my Super Bowl.
Our BuzzFeed quiz at the end of the show has to do with the Oscars. So I basically just want to get into it this week is what I'm saying. So what are you drinking? It is a celebration.
Well, I celebrated, like I said, Oscars are like my Super Bowl. I celebrated last night. So today I'm drinking coffee because I am tired. So a little afternoon, late afternoon, early evening coffee for me because I'm on the West Coast. But yeah, it's perking me up. I want to do this like Oscar segment justice. So I had to be like focused and energized for it. So
you're like, I drank 5 Red Bulls and
let's go.
Oh my God. Okay. So I'm drinking, I said I was going to try something new this week, but okay. At least I'm not drinking red wine, but I am. I know. I'm back to my screwdriver days.
Oh, that's great. I love a good screwdriver.
Yep. It's really, I got to use up that bottle of Cuddle One I have. And yeah. Like, you know what? Yeah. I kind of want something sweet because I don't want to have dessert tonight. So I'm like, popped one of my kids' straws in there. Almost chipped my front tooth. I like just went down to get a sip, but like misjudged where the straw was or something. And my tooth like almost got chipped on it. It was very scary.
Oh my goodness. That's dangerous.
Yeah. But you know what? Yeah. I will do anything for this show. So
be careful when you're drinking, people. You could chip a tooth. I know. It is a real danger.
It's like the thick, thick, thick plastic or metal ones. How are people not chipping their teeth left and right? Like, honestly.
Get your calcium, people.
I bet dentists are behind this whole, like, thick straw.
Really, dentists are actually the ones who are, like, designing glasses.
Yeah.
It's just like the car wash in my neighborhood that has birdseed on the sidewalk, like, right in front of it. And we're always like, so this is for, like, the cars that park right there. The birds are going to shit on the cars.
Listen, then go to the car wash. That's actually genius level, like, marketing.
It's like a very noticeable, strategically placed amount of birdseed every single day.
It's fucking hilarious. They don't even give a fuck. No. They're like, yeah, doing this.
Yep. They might as well say F you in birdseed on the sidewalk.
Yes, I love that. That is so funny.
That's exactly what's happening. But I love that. You know, I did try a new drink that I was going to mention quickly last night at an Oscar party that I was at. I had a French 75, I think is how it's called. Or no, French 57. Am I getting the numbers confused, I think? No. But it's champagne with some gin and like a lemon twist. And I think there's simple syrup in there too.
Ooh.
And I don't normally like gin. Not a big gin person, but.
But if there's enough lime juice in anything.
Yeah. And exactly. Like there was enough of other stuff in there for me not to taste the gin. It was quite delicious and very fancy. Right. Like in your champagne flute too.
Yeah. Ooh. I had some margaritas this past weekend. And had a bad mom's night.
Yeah.
My mom's friend.
Bad mom's night.
It was crazy. We had margaritas and they were amazing and delicious. And oh my God, I cried laughing the whole night. The whole night. And I'm like, I was not wearing waterproof mascara. It was a mess.
Do you want to shout anyone out? Like,
just Jackie and, well, Beth. I'm going to shout out Beth, even though she couldn't make it. But Jackie, Tiffany, and Jen, I went out with. So shout out to you three. My cheeks still hurt from that night. Yeah, gotta have a mom's night out, you know?
So very different.
Yeah. So
All right. Well, okay, so let's continue because we want to get into it. Sorry.
We do that. Like, I want to get to these stories because I have to talk about the Oscars. Yeah,
exactly. Right,
so let's go.
So, okay, just quick reminder, quick announcements, our drinking game, you know, anytime we have a story out of Arizona, Texas, Florida, or Japan, anytime we say literally, anytime we talk about misogyny, anytime we have a distraction while we're recording, something messes up, anytime we talk about Canada, anytime we talk about Gwyneth Paltrow, Gwyneth the Menace, as I like to call her. And we did add Rihanna to the list because we want her to drop her new album. But I was seeing, I think it was on Comments by Celebs, that Instagram account, how she was just like responding back to people who were like, come on, give us the album. Like basically saying like, the more you ask for it, it's not going to happen, you know? So I kind of feel like maybe we should take it off.
Okay. we're going to do it for, I mean, for anything. Everyone. Yeah, it's for the best for everybody. Yeah.
For all of us, I feel. And then we can put her back on, you know, once it's out and, like, we just love her. Or if, you know, there's another thing. But right now, it's just, like, I don't want to add to.
Yes, you know what? I did hear that, too. I heard that, too. And I believe it because she can do whatever the fuck she wants, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Sure. Exactly. Anyway, so that's a drinking game. And then you guys can always support us by telling a friend, giving us an Apple iTunes review on Apple Podcasts. You know, we're on social media. We're on Instagram at Evening Booze. And I'm sorry, at Evening Booze Hour, and Twitter at Evening Booze. Just search us. You'll find us. And you can send us like your story ideas and your drink suggestions and all that. Questions, comments, concerns, complaints, like whatever you want to get off your chest. eveningboozehour@gmail.com. But we do have a very special group of people who we always shout out because they're really the ones who are keeping the show afloat and keeping us on the air, and that's our Patreon Saints. And do you want to give a shout out to our newest Patreon Saint?
Yes. Oh my God. Thrilled and excited to announce that none other than Priscilla is joining the ranks of our highest honored listeners of our show.
Yep. Right.
She's our Patreon. Yay.
You guys will remember Priscilla from when she came on and did what an amazing, like,
oh my God,
report, special correspondence on being a death doula, which is what she does in Tucson. It's one of the stories I think that I got, or interviews that we got, like, the most comments and, you know, feedback about. So we're excited to have her back on in the future to tell some more stories and keep people laughing.
I cannot wait. Any day, anytime I am there to record with Priscilla. Yeah. So I guess if you want to be a star like Priscilla, be a Patreon saint and donate to our Patreon account.
Be like Priscilla.
Yes.
Just be like Priscilla.
Be a Priscilla. Be a Priscilla. Okay, are we going into the Oscars, speaking of stars?
Yes, I cannot wait. Let's do it. So many stars.
So many fucking stars. So many things. Okay, there's like so many things I don't even know how.
There's fashion, there's some WTF moments for sure. Like, what? Let's start with the red carpet. That's where it begins, and then we'll get into the other stuff.
Okay, so, like, number one thing about the black, the red carpet, oh my God.
What?
Because I'm going to talk about Black China.
Oh!
Black carpet, no.
What event are you going to?
Rewind. Okay, so... The number one thing that happened on the red carpet was when Black China graced us with her presence, and everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, she was one of the first people on the red carpet, and it was actually like earlier in the night. I'm like, oh, let me just see like what's going on the red carpet, because I wasn't watching it. And so I searched hashtag Oscars, and the first picture that came up was Black China like on the red carpet, and I was like, what is this from like this year? Like, why is she at the fucking Oscars? And I almost sent it to Liz to be like, WTF, like ? But so everybody, it wasn't just me, everybody apparently was confused as to why she was there. So I have this insane red carpet moment explained, did a little digging. She was the plus one.
Please do.
I know everybody's dying.
I'm still perplexed.
Yeah.
To this day. It's like 24 hours later, still no idea.
You are shooketh. So she was the plus one to music producer Christopher Trujillo. I guess he was either nominated or, you know, somehow worked on one of the soundtracks or whatever. So,
okay.
Best.
So comment. She was supposed to be there. She wasn't lost.
She was supposed to be there. But like, why are you walking the red carpet? Like,
why are you walking it with him? Yeah. If you're someone.
Exactly. So, but the best comment about this whole thing was from none other than Billy Eichner.
Yes.
So it was like a picture of her on the red carpet, and he tweeted, loved her in Marriage Story. Like, everybody was joking around like, oh yeah, she was in Little Women, right? Because like, why was she there? Nobody knew.
I just thought she showed up, walked the red carpet, kind of like what Macklemore did at the Met Gala last year. He was like, well, I wasn't invited, but like, no one does camp better than me, so like, I'm just here. You know, like, I thought she did something like that, but then like didn't go to the ceremony or anything, you know, beyond the red carpet.
Right. Oh no, she was a plus one. Yep.
Well, so, if you want people to talk about you the next day, she definitely got that going, because everybody was talking about her. Like you said, the first image that like pulled up with the Oscars.
Like, that's when you think you're like almost done ever thinking about Black China.
No, she will make sure that you're never done thinking about her.
And she's one that she doesn't like. Any publicity is good publicity, which I have a story about later. And it's just like, that type of person is just so obnoxious, you know?
They're always there.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started on Black China. So that was like the number one red carpet moment for me.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So what did you want to say about...
Some of the looks I loved, I guess, I wanted to talk a little bit about. Yeah. For me, my like top look, I guess, was probably okay. Well, first of all, I loved all the pastel pink like on the red carpet. I really like that. Yeah. And so for me, my top look was Brie Larson. I thought
I have her
gorgeous with the long cape, the light pink, and just like decked out in crystals. And you know, she's a former Oscar winner. She's Miss like Captain Marvel, whatever. You know, just like really powerful and elegant. Oh, I thought she looked so good.
Yeah, that was from Celine. So I saw that I had down. She was one of my top.
Yeah. The other one I had was Cynthia Erivo, I think that's how you say her name. The white dress, white hair.
Yeah. Hot. Yep. I have her too. She's been like killing it.
She's killing it. She's everywhere.
As we know, like, especially at the Oscars, it's usually just, like, classic glam. You know, like, everybody wears just, like, everybody's kind of the most safe at the Oscars.
Right.
And then at, like, the Vanity Fair after party where you get, like, oh, my God, why didn't she wear that on the red carpet? Or, you know, like, and I feel like it was worse this year than ever of, like, every single dress I saw from the after party, I was like, oh my God, that is 1,000 times Yeah. Like everybody just goes so like as simple and classic as possible for some reason on the red carpet and then does it up for the Vanity Fair after party. So
I thought so too. I liked a lot of like the after party looks.
Yeah. I did too. Yeah. The other people that I liked were Scarlett Johansson again.
Yeah, you know, I just saw her, a different, like, view of her dress. I didn't really like it when I saw it on TV. I don't know, I just thought it was kind of plain. But then when I saw that it had these, like, little things dripping down and it was, like, this really pretty gold color, like, the lighting I saw, it didn't look that great. It looked really pretty, so.
Okay, so the picture looked better.
Yeah, at first, I thought like
she looked awesome. I liked Sandra Oh's dress too. And Natalie Portman, I thought was really pretty in Dior.
And, you know, about what she did with her dress or the cape. Yeah. So many capes.
Yeah, there were a lot of capes. No, I didn't know what she did.
She has the names of the female directors who weren't nominated embroidered on her cape. Yeah. And she like wore it on stage and
Yeah, so because I saw like a couple of pictures of her. She was like posing with her arm like lifted up so you could like read some of the names. So she was like purposely posing like that. Yeah, okay. Now I remember. Yeah,
she's been very like outspoken.
Mm-hmm. Mindy Kaling looked awesome in her yellow.
So pretty.
Nobody does yellow better than Mindy Kaling. Yeah. You know who's fucking killing it this year out of nowhere? Renee Zellweger.
I loved her dress. Oh my God. Like
phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like she herself, you know, sometimes for me, too puffy, little too skinny sometimes, you know, things like that. Yeah. I love a one sleeve dress and she killed it.
Yeah. So she was wearing Armani Privé, which it was also like, pretty simple glam, but like it was like the perfect thing to wear.
It was
Oh my God. I loved
the winter white. I love it. And you know, I saw her, I think at maybe it was the SAG Awards or another one where I didn't really like it so much, but most of the award shows, she's been looking really great. This
She does. She looks great. And then for guys, Timothée Chalamet in Prada.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting, you know, are saying, like, could he have been more formal? You know, we want more out of him because he's, like he's this rising star. I think so, too. Yeah.
He's being fashionable, and I thought he really pulled it off.
Yeah.
It just feels so stuffy. Like,
He's young. Like, he doesn't probably feel comfortable in a tuxedo, you know? Like, and why should he, you know? Yeah, whatever. It's freaking, what did you say, Prada? Like, it's freaking, come on, it's still awesome.
Yeah, I loved that. But yeah, so literally everybody should go on Instagram and just like look up the Vanity Fair after party to see the dresses because I was way more in love with the dresses.
I love Billy Porter's Vanity Fair dress.
I liked that better than what he wore on the red carpet.
Me too. Yeah. So the ones that Brad Pitt looked good, you guys. And I know I was a critic. I chose Leo in the poll. I know we talked about that. But he must have gotten some, like, microdermabrasion or an awesome, amazing chemical peel because those wrinkles that made him look so weathered before are gone.
He is, like, such a snack. I cannot even.
He looks so hot. He really looks so hot.
He's been killing it with his speeches, too, because he has this, like, speech writer. And
really, I did not know that.
Yeah, I should like report on this next week. Yeah, the newest thing in Hollywood is to get like a speech writer because everybody's like, he is killing the speeches. Well, yeah, I guess they could, they probably like would help you, but I guess like, no, this is like a real thing. And everybody has been like, Brad Pitt's giving the best speeches ever. And people took note, and he's like, well, I have a speech writer. And so now that's like,
because they seem really like genuine, you know, and they don't seem scripted at all. So well, maybe he's just a real actor.
How good, the scriptwriter is, or the writer is. They're like, I like know his, you know, how he actually speaks or whatever. So anyway,
yeah. Well, and quickly, I wanted to talk about the looks I didn't like so much, because, you know, it's always fun to hate. So, Saoirse Ronan, I love her. She's, like, young, been nominated, like, 4 times in her, like, 25 years. But, like, what the heck? It looked like 2 different dresses were just sewn together.
Yeah. It looked like, because I love Project Runway, it looked like they had, you know, one of the things was, like, if your dress wins, like Brie or Saoirse Ronan will wear it on the red carpet at the Oscars. And it was just like a bad week for everybody. So, but she had to pick something. And like, that was the best one, you know, like,
yeah, that's what it looks like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like amateur. Yeah. Didn't like that one.
It's like black, you know, and very cute on the top. And then the bottom is like a lavender and not, it's like almost the material looks like wood rings almost, like if you like were to chop down a tree and see like a wood ring, but it's lavender and like, I don't know, hated it. Yeah. Sorry, but I love her. Like
that's probably my least favorite. Yeah.
That one. Well, and then Laura Dern, who I love Laura Dern. Everybody knew she was going to win the Oscar. I did not really like her dress. It just seemed kind of matronly.
At first, like when I was doing, I was going through Brad Goreski's stories. Mm-hmm. He always does a really good one, like love it or not for me. So it's a good way to like see a bunch of different looks. But at first I was like, oh, that's different. And then I like looked at it for 3 more seconds and I was like, oh, it was like hoop tassels, but like,
yeah. And people are calling it like a lampshade. I saw it kind of like described as.
Yeah. I did not love that one. I didn't like hate it, but I was just like, ooh, come on. Like, you're Laura Dern. And I think that
Laura fucking her birthday. It was. Yeah. And she won.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. No, I mean, she's been killing it lately. Like, so yeah, those are just like some looks I didn't really like, but overall I thought they were pretty good. You know, everyone definitely played it safe, like you said. So, you know, not much we can say.
Yeah. Should we get into the musical performances?
Oh yeah, sure. I was like, music, this is the Oscars, not the Grammys. Sorry.
You're like, wait, we already talked about the Grammys. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, so I didn't watch the Oscars, but I heard about the most, just as confusing as Blac Chyna on the red carpet, was when Eminem performed Lose Yourself, a song from 18 years ago.
Yeah, and no, here's how it like, went down. Like, they played all the songs that have ever, like, won best song, right? Like, it was, like, a montage of all of that. And then all of a sudden, like, Eminem is on stage playing Lose Yourself. So there was, like, no introduction. Like, I don't know.
Right, that's what the girls on, I was listening to comments by celebs, and that's what they were saying. Like, there was no intro of, like, and here's Eminem performing, like, Lose Yourself, which won Song of the Year or whatever 18 years ago. From 8 Mile, which is a fact, but Eminem wasn't there to accept the award. Like, I don't know if he decided, like, purposefully that he didn't want to go or what, but a lot of
18 saying, years ago.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying, like, 18 years ago, so the song won, you know, for being an 8 Mile, and apparently he wasn't there to accept it. So everyone's saying like, oh, it's like, you know, he's coming back up. Like, he's got a new album out. This is like his album. Plus he never was here to accept the award for winning. So let's have him that because it did win.
They needed some context because I was like, did I just time travel like back to 2002? Like, what is happening?
So like after you hear the context of it, then like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But there was nothing, like, nothing. So that was, like, a WTF Oscars moment.
So strange. And that's one thing I did read about, like, not having a host is, like, there were some chaotic parts that were bad, but also some of the chaos made it good because you were like, well, what's going to happen? And, you know, you like, here's Eminem, you know, what the hell is going to happen next? You know? So.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. You. I guess it is probably better for watching, but I don't know. Right. A lot more things. Maya Rudolph, and who did she present with? Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying like, oh, they should be hosts next year.
They were blah, blah, so blah. Funny. They were really funny. I actually really liked the ceremony. Like, I watched it all. You know, sometimes those things are boring and drag out. I was surprised at how quickly it was done. You know, I felt like it was a lot shorter than normal. And I don't know, I thought it was good. Like, good speeches, like you were saying.
Yeah, that's like the biggest controversy too. Like, do we go back to having hosts? Because I guess Chris Rock up there with too? Like Steve Martin or something?
Yeah, Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people were saying like, oh, they should host next year. Yeah.
So, and that did know. Help to have, like, they kind of did, like, an opening monologue, and, like, it needed that, right? You can't just, like, start a show. So, right. That did help. And then, like, the Maya Rudolph, Kristen Wiig was kind of, like, a host moment in a way, I'd say, too, right. To kind of just, you know, tie everything together.
It's kind of, like, yeah, it's been working. Like, mini hosts and then presenters. But then they have, like, pictures of the presenter, and it's, like, everyone's, like, why are you presenting a presenter to present something? Like,
exactly.
But I don't know. Yeah. I probably split, like, I probably would say, like, 50% of the people like having no host, and 50% of the people would want a host, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty.
I mean, it kind of gets the celebrities off a little easy. You know, like, you don't have someone who's, like, grilling them Chris Rock and Steve Martin kind of did a little, but they didn't say anything mean or outrageous, right. Or scandalous, you know, which a host might do. So I don't know if that's another reason too.
And so that's pretty much all I wanted to say about the music portion. That's all I have to say.
And that was definitely another WTF moment from Oscars. But yeah.
Nothing else report on that. So anything else you wanted to touch on for the Oscars?
I think we have to touch on the speeches and some of, like, the award winners, right? Your boy Brad Pitt won his first Oscar for acting. He's previously won for producing.
Yes. So funny. That's a little tongue twister.
Oscar for acting. Oscar. And I thought he gave a great speech. He won for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And he, you know, just, you know, really thanked Leo and Quentin Tarantino, but, like, also said, like, how this nomination's really made him reflect on his life and his love of movies, and just from going to the drive-in as a kid, you know, his parents taking him to do that, and then him traveling out to LA when he was first getting started, and he kind of just said, like, his whole life kind of has been Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and, like, it was very touching.
God. That's so cute.
And, I mean, now we know he has a great speechwriter, so.
Yeah, now we know it's not all him, okay? But, man, he pulled it off. Oh, my God.
And he thanked his kids, which he hasn't really been talking too much publicly about them. So he said, like, they are the reason I do everything I do, basically. And, you know, so.
When I read his speech, I was like, oh, yeah, he has kids. Like, I forgot he had fucking kids.
He has a ton of kids.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm not even joking. I was like, oh, fuck, that's right. He has kids.
Like, he's a completely different person. I mean,
I know.
Within the span of a few years, it is like he's a completely different person. I forget they were ever together sometimes.
It's like he was plucked up by, like, aliens after him and Jen got a divorce.
Brainwashed.
And then he was gone off the face of this earth for years.
Even though he was everywhere.
This past year. Well, that was, like, a double or something. It wasn't him.
No, I think so. I think it was definitely, like, a body snatcher situation. Because
he, like, barely talked,
I feel like. And now he's just, like, maybe it's just because he's doing more press, you know, for his nominations. But you're actually hearing him talk. And I don't know. Oh, anyways, happy for him. And then the other speech that I did like Joaquin Phoenix won for Best Actor for Joker, which was also sort of like a shoe-in. Those two were definitely like the ones that everybody expected to win. And he, you know, went on his vegan rant, which is fine because like he wants to save animals. That's okay. Just let the man do that. You know, someone's speaking for the trees here. He is the Lorax. So I think it's okay. Like a lot of people were kind of like, oh, crazy Joaquin, you know. But I did really like that. I felt like he was very humble in a lot of these speeches from this award season. And he did actually say like, I'm sorry if I was, you know, difficult to work with. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. He didn't thank anyone in his speech actually, cause he used most of his time to talk about, the issues that he's been advocating for.
Enough. Like he's won enough time to thank everyone. Okay.
So exactly. And, you know, he's just using his time for, you know, different reasons, you know, that it might just as be just as important. So I really liked that. And I just think he's really grown and he's become very humble. And, you know, it's nice to see that. And at the end, he said a quote, he got very choked up by his brother, River Phoenix, you know, and it's just kind of crazy to think like if he were alive today, what he would be doing in the acting world. And so just, a couple speeches that I liked. I think that's that's pretty much it.
You, the only other question I want to ask you was, did you see Parasite?
Oh, so I did not see it. My husband saw it. I saw almost all of the Best Picture nominees during Dry January because that's a good sober activity to do. And but I did not see Parasite. My husband saw it. Didn't know. I thought it might have been like a horror movie just by the title. That's why I was like, you can go see it without me. And then he came back and he's like, it's not really like that, you know? And so then now I said, if it won Best Picture, I would see it. So I'm planning to actually watch it tomorrow.
And what did Andy say about it?
He thought it was fantastic. He doesn't really like foreign films, mainly just because he doesn't like reading subtitles. Yeah. And so he thought it was fantastic. He said the whole second half, like what, like had him guessing the entire time. There was all these twists and turns. You never saw anything coming.
Oh my god, I have to see it now. Okay.
Yeah, and so that's the first foreign language film to win Best Picture, which you know was also the Oscars So White has definitely still been a thing, you know, this year. But you know, this is pretty big for an Asian film to win that.
Oh wow! Awesome.
Yeah. So there's just my little recap on the speeches and the winners, you know, just a few of them. Let us know who you guys liked seeing on the red carpet. Let us know whose speeches you liked. Who did you think got snubbed? Who should have won? Who were you happy for? I was rooting for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for most of the things. So, yeah, it was a good show, I thought.
Yeah, a lot of different people won instead of like one movie winning like every single thing, you know what I mean? Like it was kind of like spread out, which is always good too, because it's like when it's a sweep you're like, okay,
yeah, you know, yeah, it gets a little boring and it's like they can't keep saying the same, you know, thank you speeches.
right.
But yeah, I mean, some other things did happen in the past few weeks. I know it's been award season, but did you want to talk about the headlines that people might have missed?
Oh, and I did want to just quickly mention, speaking of like fashion and everything, New York Fashion Week is going on right now as we speak. So I will have an update for you next week on New York Fashion Week, because we just simply were recording on Monday, the beginning of the week.
Award season and fashion show season. It's a crazy, crazy time, people.
Like, I can't even, my poor little Christian Siriano. He's one of my favorites. And he must just be running around like a crazy man. He's got people on the red carpet, like a lot of people. Then he's got, you know, a show at New York Fashion Week. Like, this is insanity. He's so tiny, okay? He's so frail.
He's so tiny.
He's such a little delicate flower. I can't even. Anyway, okay. So that will be next week. Oh, and then I did just want to say that I'm addicted to Love Island. And anybody who also loves The Bachelor, Love Island, like the UK version, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay.
Oh my God.
There was like 50 episodes during the season that I was watching. Like, I started watching it, and then unbeknownst to me, like, I started watching the latest season, which I think was like season 5. And then unbeknownst to me, like 4 days after I started watching it, an actual brand new season is like coming out on Hulu.
Oh, that's the best.
Like, yep. I was
when
like,
the stars align like that in your streaming.
Yes. But I'm like, okay, I'll like finish up this season and then I'll watch like the latest one. So I'm like, know what's going on. Oh, I'm sorry. Once I was at episode like 17, I was like, okay, when does this end? Like, how many episodes are we talking? 50. 50 episodes.
No!
Okay. And I am ashamed to report that I am at episode 46 out of 50. Yeah.
How many seasons is that? Like two seasons or?
One season.
No.
Yeah. So I'm like frantic.
What is this? Watching. The Irishman of reality TV? Like, that's way too many episodes.
But it's crazy because it's like, it's happening. Like, the season 5 was shot like in the summer and they air it like real time. Like, it's not like live, but like they air what happened, you know, on like Monday night of what happened like over the weekend at the villa or whatever. So it's like in real time and you can like, they have audience like vote, you know, for your favorite couple. And then the next episode would be like, okay, blah, blah, blah. So it's crazy, but it's, so it's like lasts the whole summer in the UK. And it's shot in none other than Mallorca.
Oh, nice.
So love seeing the beautiful Mallorca represented. I guess the season they're like currently shooting is in South Africa. They shoot like during the winter, they shoot in South Africa. And in the summer, they shoot in Mallorca. I like cannot even. Okay.
You know way too much about this show.
No. I follow them all on Instagram. It's like, I'm not kidding. It's like a disease. Okay. If anybody else out there watches Love Island, please contact me. I am like dying to talk about it with somebody.
I can't. Now that I know there's 50 episodes, there's no way.
Well, I wouldn't have, except I was like literally like 16 episodes in. By the time I was like, I should like see how many episodes there are, like, you know, total.
I never do that either. I always think I'm watching something that's like a movie and then I'm like, oh wait, this is a mini series? What? Like,
yes. Well, and then I started following one of them on Instagram and I'm like, wait, what? She ends up with that guy? So then I had to watch because I'm like, how the fuck does she end up with that guy? It was like insane. Insane. I can't. I like cry during it. It's not even funny.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm not kidding. I'm so ashamed, but I need to like tell my truth.
Oh wow. I mean, I've been okay. Well, maybe we can talk more about TV on Confidential Confessions because I did just finish The Stranger on Netflix, which I thought, like, you know, I think I told you how I felt about it, and I just like continued to watch it to see like the twist and like any connection, so we can talk perfect about that and more love triangle, or I was gonna say more love triangle, more Love Island.
Okay, Confidential Confessions, everybody go to Patreon and give us $1 a month and listen to what we have to say. Okay, yeah, so this episode is like 75 hours long already and I'm going on about Love Island, but getting into headlines, Amber V wanted a coronavirus update.
Yes, I know. She was concerned about Hangzhou, China, which we love, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So you can drink to that because even though we took it off the list, we're going to talk about it. Okay. So obviously, like, the coronavirus is way too much of a downer to, like, actually talk about, like, how many people have died and how quickly it's spreading. Not to mention how the doctor in China who warned the Chinese government about the coronavirus and the government like basically shut him down and like would not speak anything about it. Well, he is dead of the coronavirus. So it's a little backstory here.
I think I did see that more people are either infected with it than SARS. And we all remember SARS, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I did see that right before recording. Yep. So it's more deadly now officially than the SARS, which everybody remembers that. But so it originated in Wuhan, China. Wuhan, China. Not Hangzhou. So sorry, Amber V. But this is like a story connected to the coronavirus. So there was a WestJet flight from Toronto to Jamaica, and this complete fucking douchebag named James Potok stood up as the plane near Jamaica and said, quote, "Can I get everybody's attention, please? I just came back from Hunan Province, the capital of the coronavirus. I'm not feeling too well. Thank you." And then just like sits down.
I'm sorry, that's not funny, but like, who does that? Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. So he didn't even get the name of where it originated from, right? He said, like, whatever. Oh,
he just lost, cause a public panic on a plane. Like, oh, fun.
So this was actually all a publicity stunt, and Potok was immediately escorted to the back of the plane and given a mask and gloves. The plane turned around and headed back to Toronto, all because this guy wanted to go viral.
Oh my God. I would be so pissed at this guy if I was like one of those passengers.
Oh my God. Yeah. So he said, quote, "I figured it would invoke some type of reaction, not on the plane, more people seeing on social media, more people seeing it on social media going, wow, this kid's got some balls, or this kid is crazy." So like that's all he wanted was for people to be like, "Ooh, this kid's cool."
Wow. And wait, so this is from Canada to Jamaica, right?
Yeah, and they were almost in Jamaica.
All those people are like literally getting out of Canada because it's so cold right now and going on vacation to Jamaica. And so he's like ruining all these people's vacations. I would be so mad.
Yeah. He even said that he had stood up on planes before to make announcements without incident and didn't think that it would be taken seriously. But it's like, you're talking about an infectious disease, which are like killing
a recycled, you know, airplane.
Yes. So like, idiot. And then, so this is the guy who says, "Any publicity for myself is good publicity."
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, okay, you are Black China. Like, we get it.
Oh, she's everywhere. Okay. She's on planes.
But I'm sure there's a special coronavirus filled plane to hell for this guy. Like,
wow. He's
this 28-year-old guy who's like supposedly like a YouTube rapper or something. But he's been charged with mischief and breach of recognizance. And WestJet crew followed proper infectious disease protocol. So they're like suing him, basically.
Yeah.
And the other passengers had to, the people not only on the plane in Toronto, but people in Jamaica waiting for that plane. Like, so
if
they
this
go.
Guy, like, yeah, and if this guy like has a history of doing this, I feel like there should be some way to start like flagging airline passengers, you know. I don't know, like, this guy likes to stand up and make, you know, announcements in the middle of a plane.
Isn't that like what TSA is for?
Yeah, there needs to be like a CODIS of airline passengers.
Jason, get on this. Like, what are we gonna do about this? Help us.
I mean, we're screening for terrorists. How about just, like, people who are straight-up assholes and a nuisance?
Honestly. Yeah, public nuisance. Okay, so switching gears a little bit, but still speaking about Amber V. This is a little story for all of our single friends out there. So let's not forget about them on this Valentine's week. But
Amber V will be coming on to talk about Valentine's Day update, so get ready for that.
Yeah, everybody freaking get your tape recorders ready.
This is the third year in a row. Like, it's become a tradition. We love it.
Yeah, so she'll be on next week. But if you recall last year, Around this time, we did a story about naming a cockroach at a zoo, and then it would like fed to a meerkat or something. I don't remember like
exactly. Your ex.
Yeah.
The cockroach, your ex. Yeah.
So the idea was name the cockroach after your ex, and on Valentine's Day they would feed the cockroach to, I think it was a meerkat or something like that. So I just wanted to give everybody, like, you know, some ideas, some deals they can score on Valentine's Day if you're single. So there's a thing this year where you can burn your ex's clothes at Torchy's. And I think I got this what? Article Torchy. From, well, I think I got this article from Vice. So this is what they said. Did you kick your ex to the curb so fast that you've still got a pile of their grubby band shirts? Great. Austin-based chain Torchy's Tacos has got your back. True to its name, the taco spot is offering to take and dispose of, as in set on fire, any of your ex's clothes, according to Patch. The reward is, sadly, a free shirt instead of free food. Yeah, they're not even giving free tacos or anything. It's taco place.
Yeah.
So they're basically giving you clothes.
Give those clothes to someone who can use them at the Goodwill, okay?
So isn't there, like, this huge, like, textile, like, you know, waste is, like, a huge issue right now or something?
Recycling, so, like, fashion, yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. But so, anyway, so I don't know if I would recommend that specific Valentine's deal, but you could kiss anyone or literally anything at Qdoba. Qdoba is yet again running its Qdoba for a Kiss promotion, which is inexplicably in its 10th year. And all you have to do for a buy one, get one free entree is plant a kiss on literally anything. A partner, a cup, a burrito. Honestly, it seems like anything goes here. Downside, a okay. Little desperate. Upside, a free burrito bowl to eat your feelings, which, God,
yeah.
Love a burrito bowl. Love a burrito bowl.
That sounds like a great date location. You just go, you kiss your date, and you get, like, half off your food, yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Or you're by yourself, and you kiss yeah. Your own hand.
Yeah.
I do. I love myself. Self-love. So I think there's a Qdoba out in the Worcester area where Amber lives.
Oh, I've never heard of that before, but
oh,
it sounds
Qdoba.
Like
it's kind of like it's like Chipotle-ish, mm-hmm. I would say. Okay. It's pretty good, but you know, if you have also a Chipotle at your disposal, you're gonna go there.
Chipotle.
Okay. Oh, another like long-standing one is you could go to Hooters and shred your ex. I think we talked about this one last year too.
Yeah.
Okay. It's ringing some bells. So just as Hooters has done for several years in a row, the wing chain will shred pictures of exes in exchange for 10 free boneless wings. You do have to buy 10 wings to activate the deal, and you do unfortunately have to actually go to Hooters. But hey, there are sadder ways to spend Valentine's Day. So at least that one does give you free food. But yeah. I mean, if you're a single guy or gal who's into that, why not? Like, what better day than Valentine's Day to go to Hooters? Or if you'd rather have a burger, you could trade a picture of your ex for free Burger King. Okay. It says, scorned lovers can drop a photo of their exes into a breakup box at Burger King for a free Whopper in a doubly branded whammy with the film Birds of Prey, in which Harley Quinn has finally dumped that riff-raff looking Joker. That's what it said. I did not fucking write that.
I heard about this and I'm like, well, couldn't your exes sue? You know, like, because they didn't give their consent for you to give your photo to Burger King. I mean, maybe if Burger King doesn't ever show it, it just stays in the box
I think that's the idea. So similar to like shred your ex, but they probably were like, well, we don't want to shred the picture because that's like what Hooters does. Next line. This is the next line. I literally obviously didn't read this. Burger King provided reassurance via press release that photos will be destroyed upon completion of the activation, whatever the fuck that means. Whether a printed photo of a dumpster is allowed as a stand-in for your ex remains to be seen, but we encourage you to try it. So yeah, get your free burger, you know, if you want. Yeah, so those are just a couple things you can do on Valentine's Day if you're feeling a little lonely.
I love singles. You know, take advantage of the day.
Oh my God, I would. Are you kidding me? I'd be out the corner. I'm single. Everybody, like, give me a dollar. Oh my God, that's like panhandling, right? Basically, saying I would panhandle on Valentine's Day.
Panhandle for Valentine's Day promotions.
You know what? Some days I'm like, why don't I just like sit there for a couple hours with the fucking basket out? You know, these people are making money, more money than I'm making as a stay-at-home mom. I just changed my life goals. I just turned my life around right now.
I can't encourage that dream for you, Kate. I'm sorry.
Bye. Okay, can we please get on to your stories so I can stop talking?
Okay. I mean, do you have more headlines or is that good?
Well, yeah, those were the only ones I was going to do tonight. Okay. Because I knew we were going to be Oscars heavy. So I'm literally going to stop talking because I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Well, sit back and relax. And I am going to tell you a pop culture tale. And it involves the Oscars. And we're going to go back in time to the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
Yes. Remember those days. Where were you in the year 2000?
Oh my God. That was like,
I was like a freshman in high school.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that was freshman year. 2000. Damn, good times. You know what? Coincidentally, speaking of 2000, the Spotify, like 2000s hits or whatever it's called. Is so good.
I
think it's like Double O's Hits or something. Like that's what the channel's called. It is so good. Anyway, I digress. The 2000s. Great time. Great time to be alive.
It was a great time to be alive. And it was a scandalous time for the Oscars because in March 2003, or I'm sorry, we just said 2000 and I'm looking right at it. In March 2000, 55 Oscar statues were stolen from a loading dock in an LA suburb just a couple weeks before the 72nd Academy Awards ceremony. Oh my God.
Jinx.
Oh my God, of course. So, exactly. It was a very scandalous time. There was kind of a frenzy. So I'm going to talk about the Oscar heist of the year 2000.
Yes. Oh my God. What a time.
And I kind of remember this, but I didn't know a lot about it just because I wasn't really into the Oscars yet freshman year in high school. So
yeah, I don't remember this happening, but there was like no social media. So
exactly. Yeah.
And like this has been on a podcast, right?
I think so. I mean, probably.
Okay. Yeah. It's been on some true crime podcast that I've heard because I know the story. Like, I couldn't tell you any exact details, but I know I've heard of it. So
I mean, I didn't really know the story at all. I heard about it and I was like, I think I'm going to report on that since we're doing Oscars this week. Yeah. Let's get into it. After these Oscars disappeared, it caused a media frenzy, right? And the company that makes them, that made them at the time, R.S. Owens, they, you know, raced to begin, like, making 55 new statues. They had about 20 factory workers working 24/7
to recreate the entire inventory and ship them. They're in Chicago, and so they had to ship them out to LA in time for the ceremony.
How long
and it takes like a long time to make them. Well, so I'm not sure if I have this in here, but it was in one of the stories I read. It might not have made it into my notes, but I think it was something like 3 months or, you know, like it does take like a long time to make them because they're brass and then they're dipped in gold. So I remember that part.
Good job.
So I'm going to kind of tell you what happened, like a synopsis, and then get a little bit more into it, because there was this E! Online article that actually was pretty in-depth about it. So there were some interesting points that were not in all the other articles I read. Okay, so within days of the theft, this man named Willie Fulger, I think it's Fulger, he was an unemployed junk scavenger, basically just goes around to dumpsters, you know, tries to find what he can collect and make money off of that. He told the LAPD that he found 52 of the statuettes while going through a dumpster behind a Food for Less near Koreatown.
What?
So what? I Food for Less may be a West Coast thing too, like Cubana. Yeah. I don't know. What I call Cubana.
You're like my daughter. You can't understand yet the difference between lowercase b or d.
Yep. Pretty accurate.
Oh my God, I'm dead. Okay. Anyway, Food for Less.
So he found 52 of the 55 of the statues in a dumpster, basically.
Somebody wants free. What is what?
And I'll tell you, spoiler alert, there are still two that are missing.
No. I just literally, I wish we were on like video chat right now so you could have seen my reaction. It was so dramatic. Oh my God. Okay. Tell the whole story and go.
Yes. So, okay. By the time Willie found the statues, the company that made the statues had offered up a $50,000 reward, and the Academy had offered up two seats to the ceremony. So he got both of those things, you know, after he told the police about the Oscars. The two people who were eventually found to have stolen the Oscars got light sentences, you know, in jail. It wasn't anything too severe. And then in 2003, one statue was recovered in a drug bust in Florida. And they know this, they know which statues they are because the statues have serial numbers on them.
Serial numbers. Yes. I remember that part. Okay. That part I remember of the story. Oh my God.
He really, I think, knows how it got to Florida, and it's just very like random in this drug bust, but there are still two that are missing right now. And so when Willie, you know, found these statues, it was eventually discovered by the attorneys of one of the men who had been charged with stealing the statues that Willie was actually his half brother. So the guy who found them was half brothers with one of the guys who was responsible for stealing them.
But then why would they only take three? You know what I mean?
And there's like a lot of other, like there was I'll post this E! Online article because it did go a lot more in depth because they talked to the two men who were in jail for the crime. And so it's like their account of it. And like one of them found that like, stole the statues off of like the loading dock or whatever. The other guy kind of got involved and didn't know like what they were transporting until he did know, you know, and then they took it to like someone else's house. He didn't want the statues there. And like, then they kind of had to just like, I think someone who was supposed to hold the statues for them was like, I just want to get rid of these. I don't want them, and dumped a lot of them. But they didn't really go into how the three got separated from the set.
Interesting.
Right. So a year later, I mean, this was only discovered, you know, in attorney documents when the guys were going through the, you know, trial process for stealing the Oscars, that Willie was the half brother. So it didn't really come out too much at the time. So a year later,
Willie told Vanity Fair, man, I wish I've never seen them Oscars. It built me up one day and pushed me right back down the next day. What happened is he spent about $17,000 of his $50,000 prize on gold Lexus, as you do.
As one does.
And then he drove that back to Mississippi, where he's from, and built a dream home in Mississippi. And then the remaining money he still had in stacks of cash, he put in a safe and locked it in his LA place where he was. But a month later, when he returned, he found that someone had broken into his home, rifled through the safe, and the money was now missing, like the remaining money.
It was obviously your brother's.
Well, he was in jail. So his half-brother was in jail. And so this is where it kind of comes out. So then as they were preparing for his trial, you know, they found these police reports stating that Willie was the half-brother. And so then he was arrested as well, even though he claimed that he had not spoken to the thief, you know, his half-brother, in 2 years. But people, you know, the police just began looking into his story, and his reputation just got more and more tarnished. And I think he just got, you know, a very light sentence as well. But, you know, whether he claims it or not, nobody knows for sure if it's the truth. It is very strange that he's the one who found all these Oscars and he's half-brothers with, I mean, LA is not a small town, you know, it's not like they're just gonna like run into some Oscars on accident.
The chances of somebody you're related to like finding that is very slim. Wow. Yeah, I don't remember any of that.
Well, that's and cool. Then this the other thing, it could be, it really could be.
What the hell?
And, you know, it is interesting that Willie, like, it did say in one of the articles that when he found the statues, you know, he went home and Googled, you know, just looked up on the internet that, and found, that's how he found out that they were missing, like, that they were legit statues. I think he didn't think they were real at first. And, so he then called like a news station first and then called the police. So, you know, like it's a little interesting that that was the order in which he, you know, let people know about his discovery, might say something. But also the article I read included that 17 years later, it was actually revealed that this like mad scramble to replace all the stolen Oscars probably wasn't really necessary. So those guys that were working, you know, 24/7 to like recreate all these Oscars probably like wasn't really that necessary, because a spokesperson for the company said that most people don't know that we all will make the Oscars a year in advance. And what got stolen were the Oscars for the next year. So I don't know why there was like this big rush and why they're revealing this 17 years later. Maybe it was a publicity thing a little bit in a way.
Wow. I mean, you can't put it past, you know, these people.
Yeah. And so he also revealed, the spokesperson for the company, R.S. Owen, said the Academy, and they're no longer the company today, but they were the company, you know, at the time that the Oscars were stolen. And he said the Academy office keeps a solid inventory of statuettes on hand because of the number of recipients varies each year. Like a shortfall could be possible. So they always have extras. And he said there's absolutely under no circumstances could run the risk of not having statues. So there would always be like statues on hand. So it's just interesting that they revealed that this wasn't really necessary.
So I could see like, oh, somebody actually steals some, and then, you know, it's, oh my God, did you hear the Oscars were stolen? And then, you know, the media kind of makes up like, here's Oscars, because they don't know, like,
right?
That.
Oh,
so it could have just been a total like media thing, and they ran with it, like, oh yeah, well, their Oscars for this year were stolen, and there's they're in a frantic rush to, because that's like a bigger story than just like, oh, next year's Oscars. Yes.
Yeah. And like, so Willie's kind of contributing to it too. He's like, look, I found all these Oscars, you know, and then it's just, now it's no longer about the reasoning of like the scheduling and the reasoning with the Oscars. It's just about the stolen product. Right. So,
yeah. Wow. My God, yeah. This should be like a mystery documentary.
It's really interesting. Like, yeah, I would love to like have all these people involved, like share their sides of the story someday. But the Oscars that Willie found, the 52 of them, they were never handed out. They were destroyed because, as this representative from R.S. Owen says, they were never going to hand out a stolen statue. It's the Oscars.
It could be tainted. We don't know for these Oscars of that. We don't know whose butt this Oscars was up.
They were in a dumpster. Like,
they were in a dumpster. So,
you know, it was all for naught, maybe. But that is the story of the, like, you know, short version of the story of the great Oscar statue heist of 2000. So you can look up, I'll put the E! Online article in the show notes if you want to read more, because there are perspectives of the two guys who were, you know, caught and charged with stealing the Oscars in there, too.
Ooh, I'll see if I can remember which podcast that was on, too. Because I remember they did, like, a pretty decent... You know, this was probably 2 years ago that I heard about this. So, of course, I don't remember anything of it.
Once Upon a Crime, I feel she does a lot of, like, movie publishers.
Yes, that sounds right, talk actually. About
it, the more familiar it sounds. But yeah, so let us know your favorite moments in Oscar history. Like, maybe you've heard of that story before. Maybe there's another, like, scandal related to the Oscars that you love. We want to hear all of it. Like I said, I just love this time of year, award season, Oscars, one of my favorite days, you know. So just so much fun to, like, learn everything I can about it.
Well, now, isn't the Oscars, like, the end of award season?
I think... There might be one more. I'm not sure, but I think you might be right, actually. I think it all ends with this. And now it's more, I might be thinking of, like, the Met Gala, like, that comes later.
Right.
But yeah. It's not awards, just the red carpet.
Yeah, I think the Oscars is, like, the culmination of actual award season. But
I think that
there will definitely be more red carpets. But, yeah, I thought it was a good year. And until next year, let's step up our game, everybody, shall we?
But yeah, so we do have our BuzzFeed quiz, which is Oscar related. The one we chose was host an Oscars viewing party and we'll tell you which Oscar nominee is your soulmate. So
I was like, if I don't get Brad Pitt, I'm fucking quitting this podcast. So I'm here to tell you that I'm quitting this fucking podcast. I didn't.
I mean, they probably didn't even put him as an option that in there because, like, you know, people, it just wouldn't be fair for anyone.
Okay. Fucking, yeah. They probably didn't. I didn't check to see what the possible answers were. So I got our least favorite dressed actress.
Oh.
Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan. Really? Okay. I thought you and I might get the same person, but no, I got someone different.
A real rando. I was like, oh, I wasn't even like expecting that. So it says, this little woman is your one true soulmate. She's young, but she has made quite a name for herself in Hollywood. The two of you would never stop laughing and having fun together, which, like, I love an Irish woman.
Back up, bitch. Kate's mine.
You're getting so territorial. I love it. No, I love an Irish woman because, actually, like, side note, my favorite person on Love Island is from Ireland and I love her fucking accent.
Save it for confidential confession.
Sorry. I know I'm gonna go on another 45 minute tangent. You guys, it's honestly, it's like It's like coronavirus, okay?
We need to do a Kickstarter to help Kate, I think.
I'm going to have to start a Love Island fucking podcast, okay?
You are. You are. And I will watch. I'll just listen to you, like, recap all the episodes.
Yeah. It's so good. I'm not kidding. Okay, anyway. Okay, go. Tell me who you got, because I can't.
Oh my god, we need to find, like, a Love Island quiz. Okay, so I got someone who I didn't really used to like, but after seeing the movie he was in this year, I did like him more, and that is Adam Driver.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, and Kylo Ren from Star Wars. I just never really liked him in Girls when he was in that show. I watched, like, the first season and didn't like him. I don't find him, like, attractive, so, like, whenever I see him in these, like, leading man, you know, romantic lead, I'm just like, oh no. You know,
played kind of like a douchey, like, weirdo in Girls, so it's like that's all you can see him as.
Yeah, but I did really like him in Marriage Story. I thought he was great, actually, and made me you know, hop on the Adam Driver bus. So the description says, "The Force awakens when you and Adam are together because you two are definitely soulmates. He's good at pretty much everything and will always make you feel special. There's no stopping the two of you."
Well, Andy, are you listening?
And he likes him as Kylo Ren.
He was good as Kylo Ren. I did see that.
I do wonder, though, if he's a Gemini, actually, because I feel like maybe he is, and that might be why I also got him, because I'm
Googling this. Is Adam Driver?
He's a... Oh, wait. No, never mind.
A Gemini.
Scorpio. No, never mind. I must be wrong.
Oh, my husband's a Scorpio.
Oh, well, there you go. So yeah, I mean, I'm not mad at it. I'm okay with Adam Driver.
Oh wait, is he a Sagittarius? Fuck. Now I don't know. Now I'm confused. What are the dates? I don't know. Whatever. He was. He's Sagittarius. Sorry. Wait, when are?
Okay. Hi, Bob. Your wife doesn't know your zodiac sign.
No, after I said it, I was like, that's not right. There's another one that starts with S, right? Anyway, yeah, well, okay. That's interesting.
Our Oscar show. So, yeah, check it out. Find out who your Oscar soulmate is. That's all the news that's fit to drink this week. And, yeah, just give us all your Oscars feedback. I want to hear it all.
Everything. See you next week. Love you. Bye.
Bye.